This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we're going over the Season for Love. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Are you ready
for one dry kiss? Deep in the heart of Texas.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies, where we recap one singular saucy, tangy barbecue movie in Manja March. Mm-hmm. This episode, we're covering Season for Love. And I'd like to introduce my co-host, the sauciest of them all, the fire in my grill, Miss Tamara Cosio.
Thank you. And I would like to introduce my, and I'm going to use a word and a phrase that Corinne said frequently when coming over to my house, the delicious smoked meat in my world, Corinne Edding.
Yeah. Honored. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I called her that because she would always come over and my ex would always be barbecuing. And Corinne said, I am not a fan of barbecue, but your boyfriend at the time makes the delicious smoked meats. And I am here for it.
It's true. And usually I'm like, let's explore local restaurants when we go, when like we travel places. But instead I'd bring a plate with me and I'd be all, okay, so when are we eating? She'd be like, did you bring that from home? And I'm like, yeah, it's extra large so that I will have plenty of room for all the things that I want to eat.
But fear not, I also brought a bowl just in case.
Just in case
it was, yeah.
And you hear that clinking? That was me with the Tupperware containers. Mine are all glass, though, you know, so that I can take home leftovers.
And rightly so, because that man would cook for 6 to 8 people, and it was just the two of us. I've probably said it many times before. Ugh. But that's one thing I experienced in this movie. Every time I watched it, it got me really hungry. Like, ooh. I would get hungry.
If I'd known, I would have, like, sent you some smoked meats.
Don't you dare Instacart me anything. It's 1-0. I'm coming for you. I am coming for you.
There's like some kind of tally that you have. Like yes. Your brain hamster is like, Corinne has done this, and so therefore you need to reciprocate it exactly the same.
Not exactly the same. Better.
Oh! I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
I had a bad brain day today.
Oh?
We have dove into planning for my sister's memorial service. It has kicked off.
Fun.
I know. Let the emotional roller coaster begin. Yay!
So. Nothing says fun like a funeral. It's even in the word.
A funeral? Yes. And I told my mom what I said to you, which you were like, 2022 is supposed to be the good year. And I said, yes, but 2022 doesn't start until your birthday, Tam. And my mom said, that's good. I like that. So.
Oh, okay. Dear listeners, we said that it's been such a couple of last years that we're not going to accept anything but awesomeness in 2022, which is what Corinne's referring to.
Yes. However, first, I have to make it through my sister's memorial service, which is on June 4th. So.
Now it makes so much more sense, because when you're like, 2022 doesn't start until your birthday, and I'm like, do you love me that much? Is it like Christmas? Am I like Jesus? Like,
yes, you are.
The start of okay.
You're my Jesus. I'm going to blaspheme. You're my Jesus, Tamara.
I know. I do not think that or mean that. Don't anybody get offended. Just when you first said that, I'm like, oh, okay. And now I'm like, oh, it's after your sister's memorial. Makes way more sense now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's nothing I would love more than to celebrate you and kick off 2022 with my bestie better than the restie.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of birthdays, this was quite embarrassing because we had to redo an introduction for the baker's son because we both had some things going on and we're not all together present, not knowing that we weren't all together present. Found out after the fact because we were doing our edits and in my introduction, I had said, oh, this movie came out on June 13th, the day before my birthday. Funny thing is, my birthday is not on June 14th. That is my sister's birthday. So my correction corner was around the day I was born, because apparently in that moment in time, I could not remember when that was. Very good times.
Mm-hmm. Super good times. Good times.
Didn't you have a correction on that show, too?
The other thing is that we talked about 50 Shades of Grey as if Brent Doherty were in all the 50 Shades of Grey movies. He's only in one.
I did not get that from my research. I just saw that and I was like, he's in all of the 50 Shades. He's 1 through 49 of the 50.
Yes.
Brent Doherty.
I mean, in our hearts he is, but no, not actually in real life, which makes my heart a little happier, honestly.
It's a little more pure in your eyes.
Exactly. Yes. Back away from that S&M movie. Back away.
No. And ask Corinne. She knows firsthand.
Oh, God. You see, the thing is that when I see him at the S&M meetings, we're all wearing little masks. So it's hard to really tell who's who. So, you know.
I think I would recognize Brent Doherty from the nose down, like, and he is not in this movie, by the way.
No, he's not.
But you know who is in this movie? Ooh. Not Brent Doherty, but Corinne. Can you tell us who is? Do you have a synopsis?
Why, yes, I do have a saucy synopsis for Ooh. Our gentle listeners and you.
Score. Woo! Score!
Synopsis. Tyler, not Ty Tyler Hines, but Tyler, a woman played by Autumn Reeser, has just lost her job as a chef at a formerly trendy restaurant in San Francisco that is now closed. She takes this opportunity to return back to her hometown with her 13-year-old daughter, Rosie. Together, they plan to spend the summer with Tyler's mom and Rosie's grandma, Jo, who was dubbed by Tamara as Jo Mama has a barbecue restaurant. It's through Tyler reconnecting with her love of cooking barbecue, through her family's restaurant, and subsequently through entering a barbecue competition that she starts finding her way once again. But what about the romance? Well, her high school sweetheart, Corey, played by Mark Blucas, who has also returned back to their hometown of Red Rock to participate in the barbecue competition. He is now a famous barbecue chef who has written several cookbooks, and he lives in New York City. But much like Tyler, he also has a journey of his own to go on to find his true direction and find his true love. Will Tyler and Corey end up slathering each other in barbecue sauce and naked wrestle each other?
Yes, please.
Will Tyler spray paint all the red rocks gold to create a new happening tourist attraction for the town? Will Corey be inspired to write a new cookbook, but this time it will be entirely on vegan barbecue? Keep those listening ears listening to find out.
Vegan barbecue. Interesting.
Hey, Miss Tamara, do you have any funstable facts for us?
I sure do. And most of my fun facts have to do with barbecue. So the first one's not, so I lied a little bit. This movie,
yes,
was not filmed in Texas, surprisingly. And I had to look it up because in the establishing shots, they did one of those aerial flyover drones. Uh-huh. And it was just like green fields and trees as far as the eye can see. And I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but every time I've gone to Texas, especially like in the rural areas, it's usually yellow and brown.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if that's Texas, I want to know what beautiful place that is. And it wasn't. It was actually in Port Perry, Ontario, Canada.
How weird. Canada is a terrible Texas place. Canada is just not a good Texas place.
It might be a good Texas place if you've never been to Texas. Ugh. That's where I was like, it's green and it's woodsy and it's green fields. And no, that's not right. And I have this personal fun fact. Ooh. I don't know if I've shared it on this podcast before, but it might help somebody in a pinch.
Oh.
I've done it myself, and it is tried and true, a surefire way to light a barbecue. So if your charcoal happens to get wet, or you only have regular charcoal and no lighter fluid, you can actually light your grill with Doritos.
Ooh, that sounds tasty.
One of the first times I tried barbecuing by myself, and I was cursing the bejeebus out of this freaking grill, and I'm like, I'm just not meant to do this. I'm just not meant to have delicious smoked meat. And then, thanks to TikTok, you just put the Doritos, strategically place it within the coals, and then you light the Doritos on fire, and those mummer bumpers like burn all the way through, and they actually lit my grill, and I was freaking thrilled.
That is so exciting.
And now some other barbecue facts. Baby back ribs got their name because they're shorter than spare ribs, not because they come from a baby animal.
Ew! I never thought that before. Now I'm getting grossed out.
I did. I thought baby back ribs came from baby cows, and it bothered me to eat them. And then I found out that that's not true, and I was super relieved. But then I'm like, girl, it never deterred you from eating them before. You just felt bad about it. And my last barbecue fact. One of the earliest instances of barbecue was discovered in 2009, where researchers found mammoth ribs in a 4-foot cooking pick that appeared to date back to 29,000 BC.
Wow.
The area was also covered with conch shells, which made the archaeologists wonder whether the barbecue had been the first instance of a surf and turf meal.
That sounds like a bad joke. That's awesome.
These were all gleaned from a BuzzFeed article, except for the first one and the TikTok one. And honestly, though, everything wasn't everything barbecue back in the day. Like, if you think about it, it was outside fire pits. Nobody really had houses or dwellings. Yeah. And if they did, they probably were cooking outside anyways. Yes. So there's a good hefty chance that our ancestors from way, 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 way back were barbecuing the whole time.
Truth.
Are you ready, Corinne, to jump into this barbecue story?
Why, yes, I am. And can I just tell you how thoroughly delighted I was by your fun facts? Thank you for your barbecue facts.
And if anybody does happen to use that Dorito trick, please write us in and let us know how it goes.
Yes, I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. No, just I do. Tamara was just... No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Please title that email "For Corinne's Eyes Only, Not Tamara. Do not read this. You're not supposed to know."
Shh. Secrets. We are in Red Rock. The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas. Tyler and her 13-year-old daughter, Rosie, are visiting Mama Jo, or as Tamara dubbed her, Jo Mama, for the summer. Jo Mama has picked them up from the airport, and when they arrive at the family diner, Jo and Ray's Barbecue, all four staff members are gathered with a few balloons yelling, "Surprise!" Okay, so Tamara, what were you thinking would be included with this surprise party when you first watched it? One, a cake. Two, an exotic dancer. Three, someone jumping out of a cake. Or four, four employees yelling, "Surprise!" with a few balloons.
At least a cake. A cake of some form. A cake, somebody jumping out of a cake. 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 I'm going to go with cake.
Skipping over the whole exotic dancer thing. Okay, it's fine. I would agree that a cake of some form would be very festive, appropriate for a surprise. But no, mm-hmm. Their only surprise is them yelling "surprise."
Yeah. I was like, that's like the sad birthday celebrations you see at TGI Fridays when the staff is forced to come out and sing somebody a happy birthday song. They're like, I guess, okay, people, look alive. Yay. Today.
After the big surprise of four people yelling "surprise," Jo Mama goes back to the kitchen with Rosie to delight her with barbecue, and longtime employee George, played by the very tall and very hot Martin Roach, takes a moment to catch up with Tyler. At first, I was bummed that George wasn't the leading man in this because hot and great energy, but then I looked up their age difference and they are about 18 years apart. He looks fucking fantastic. That's all I gotta say.
What?
Yeah, and Autumn Reeser has one of those faces that I call a gift face, because it's one of those faces that that when you're younger, you look older than you are, but then it stays the same throughout, and so when you're older, you're looking younger. She just looks a little older, not in a old way, but just in a, you know,
than she
actually is. Anywho, George warmly hugs Tyler and asks her how she's doing. She lets him know that she's doing great, but she got divorced from Eddie 2 years ago. They realized they were better off as friends than husband and wife. George is sympathetic. Ah, yes, I made two friends that way. And now I have to ask, who are you, Hallmark, including a twice-divorced lovely man in your movie? Blasphemy!
Mm-hmm, and a once-divorced woman.
Oh, my God. She's not a virgin anymore, Tam. Shh, secrets.
Divorce.
Divorce. George asks her how long she's staying for, and much to my surprise, she says all summer, and then totally lies about still having her job in San Francisco. Why would she lie about that? I have no idea. After the big lie, she shifts the conversation, asking if they have a spare apron she could use so she could help with the lunch rush. And George gives her the eyes and says, are you kidding? Your apron is where it has always hung, but doesn't mention that they don't have a lunch rush anymore.
Mm.
She goes back into the kitchen where her mom is talking with Rosie about school. Tyler finds her old boombox, turns it on, and plays the CD in there. It's my favorite song, she says nostalgically, and starts dancing her mom around the kitchen. After that, we're in New York, New York City, and we're introduced to Corey Turner. He's at a party for the release of his newest cookbook, Tales of a Texas Pitmaster. No one is yelling surprise, but his manager, Sophia, announces, surprise, that his newest book that has yet to be released already has made the bestseller list in pre-releases. Way to go, Corey Turner. Since Corey Turner left his childhood home of Red Rock, Texas, he's launched a cooking product line, cookbooks, and 3 restaurants. He's a barbecue success. Yay!
Small town boy done good.
Mm-hmm.
Back at Joe and Ray's barbecue restaurant, Tyler is helping with the lunch, quote-unquote, rush. She's in the kitchen cooking, fulfilling orders, and handing the waitress food. She peeks out into the dining room and realizes it's less than half full. George tries to distract her by calling her over to sample some mashed potatoes.
Oh, sample some mashed potatoes.
Sample some mashed potatoes. Ooh. Let me put my teeth back in so we can have some of those.
Okay.
She tells him, your potatoes need more butter and chive. Don't we all, Tyler, don't we all need more butter and chive in our life? And then ask him why it's so slow. George feigns ignorance. I don't know what you mean, he says, turning his back before she can read the lies on his face. George, she chastises him, you've worked here for over 20 years, and you know as well as I do that that dining room is never that empty. He lowers his voice conspiratorially. Okay, but you didn't hear it from me. 2 new flashy restaurants open up in town, and since then we've been really slow. Your mom doesn't want to say anything, but she's worried. We all are. He goes out to check on the smoker while Tyler checks in on her daughter. You sure you don't want to go to summer camp? It's only 2 weeks. Her daughter, Rosie, has the same reservations as any kid would. What if I don't make any friends? What if there's huge spiders in the bathroom? Or what if I start my period for the first time? But I just wanted to inject that little last part because that actually happened to me. I went to summer camp and started my menses for the first time when I was there, which was traumatic in itself because they only had phone book sized
pads,
napkins, and when I came home, I had to tell my dad, who was very distraught and upset about that, and then subsequently forgot that it happened for the next couple of months. So every time that time came around and I was like, I need some stuff, Dad. He's like, what? For what? For me, sorry, my period. When did that happen? I'm like, oh, 2 months ago. Remember? We've had this conversation 3 times now.
Oh, my gosh.
Your sister should have blazed the way for you.
No. She was overfending for herself. Like, she's like, I'm 12. I get my own things, basically.
She's like going to the nurse's office with like an empty backpack, just being like, bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah. Tyler does her mom duty and encourages Rosie just as George brings in a smoked platter of meats. Ooh. Everything got done, but Staubach just went kaput. Tyler, hearing this, beelines it outside to fix Staubach. Her daughter asks that the smoker's called Staubach? Yep, Grandma Jo informs. It's named after your father's favorite Dallas Cowboy player, Roger Staubach. How long's this been on the fritz? Ty asks, and Mom downplays it. Oh, for a little bit. George, who's manning the grill behind her, adds, seems like something around here's always broken. Joe Mama says, I heard that, but it's true. Tyler's worried for the restaurant, but Joe Mama just shrugs it off. It'll work itself out. It always does. Now, come on, let's go back inside. We have some hungry mouths to feed. Meanwhile, back in the city, Corey's sitting down with his manager while the party's being cleared up behind them. That was fun, he says. Well, if you think that was fun, his manager counters, just wait until tomorrow. You have the network meeting, and you really want to sell yourself for the cooking show. Ooh, is that tomorrow? Corey asks. I told you I was going to be on a plane to Texas, his manager argues. You said you were thinking about it. They go back and forth and back and forth, but Corey's adamant he promised his friend Jay that he would head back to Texas for his hometown Red Rocks barbecue competition. You have to back out, his manager argues, but Corey digs his boots in and says, where I come from, when you make a promise, you keep it no matter what.
Yeah.
And even though I put that he dug his boots in, because I'm like, haha, he's a barbecue chef from Texas. Of course he wears boots. Later on when I watch the show, no, he does not. Yeah. He always wears sneakers in every single scene. But for all intents and purposes, I said boots.
I thought it was great.
Me too.
Yeah.
And he continues, now I'm sure you can use your magic on those executives to push the appointment. His manager says, fine, loudly, but just hurry back because you're not the only chef who wants a TV show. They clink their glasses together and make peace because all is fair in barbecue and business. Back in the heart of Texas, Tyler's looking around her mother's kitchen, and in a cupboard tucked away, she finds one of Corey's earlier barbecue cookbooks called Life is a Barbecue. I put a bunch of stars there because why do you think he called life a barbecue, Corinne? What kind of funny analogies can we say that life is like a barbecue because you always get burnt? Or...
Yeah, that's not really a great analogy. Life is a barbecue because, yeah, I was going to say it's hot and burny. Ah, smoky.
Spicy and saucy.
Ooh, okay. I would prefer to think that life is not a barbecue, but I wouldn't mind... Life with a side of barbecue.
Yeah. Life is like a barbecue because even when all things are bad, it gets better and easier when you stick some Doritos in it. No.
But that was very concise. I liked how just direct and to the point that one was.
Tyler smiles when she opens it and reads the touching message he wrote. It says... Dear Joe, you and Ray are the reason I was able to write this book. You both taught me everything I knew about barbecue. All my love, Corey.
Aww.
She smiles. And is there something sparking in her memories about this past love? Something smoking her mind about him? Something charring her hardened heart?
Ooh.
The next day, across town, Corey's being driven by his friend Jay in a convertible. As they drive, they catch up on each other's lives and pull up in front of a red brick building. Jay happens to own a little rental unit and gussied it up for his celebrity guest, a.k.a. his high school bestie, a.k.a. Corey. It's small but beautifully laid out, and there's a gas grill and a smoker outside and a fully stocked fridge.
Oh, that place is gorge.
I know.
I want to live there.
After the tour, Corey thanks him for the hospitality, and Jay says, it's the least I can do to thank you for coming out here. Your name alone is going to bring in so many people. Corey laughs, I can't believe they put you in charge of the barbecue competition. Didn't they know you in high school? What are you talking about? Jay argues, I was a great student, .. when I showed up. They both laugh. Corey digs into the fridge to make an omelet, asks his friend Jay if he wants one, but Jay declines. Nope. I gotta go into town. I'm volunteering at the summer camp. Corey's jaw drops. You're running barbecue competitions and you're a teacher
and a real estate mogul and a volunteer at summer camp? Who are you even? They both hug brosive style, and Jay leaves him and his huevos.
Ooh. The next morning, Tyler is in the kitchen making breakfast when an ad for the barbecue contest comes on over the radio. Joe Mama says, "Why don't you enter?" But Tyler isn't interested. She thinks she'll stick to French food. That's what she was cooking in San Francisco. Plus, Tyler says, "I've always felt like the competition was yours and Daddy's thing. Those are some big shoes to fill." Joe Mama is awesome and supportive and tells her daughter that she'll support her no matter what she decides. Tyler switches the topic just as her daughter Rosie walks in. Tyler says, "I saw the cookbook that Corey signed for you. That was super sweet of him." Rosie is intrigued. "Who's Corey?" Tyler stammers, "Why she can't just say that he's a high school ex is beyond me."
Samesies.
Yeah.
"Repeat after me, Tyler. We dated in high school. We were friends. He's my friend from way back." Pick any of these.
Yes.
Pick any of these.
It's not that big of a deal. It's not like,
yeah.
It's not like, "I had a secret child with him. And then..." Like,
yeah, I know, right? You actually have a little brother. Or, I mean, a big brother.
"Oh, and by the way, he's also my cousin. Things got a little weird there along the way, but you know."
Oh my gosh, I watched the new Madea movie, and one of the people on there was like, "Once you get past sisters, it's all fair game."
Oh no. That would make a difference on that one, but thank you. Joe Mama quickly steps in. "He's a friend." Rosie says, "Nice. Guess what? When Dad and I FaceTimed last night, he said he might come in for my birthday." Tyler turns to look at her daughter. "That's great. Hey, hon, why are you wearing a backpack?" Rosie says tentatively, "Well, I was thinking I might want to go to the summer camp if that's okay with you." Joe Mama and Tyler play it super cool. Yeah, totally. So totally cool. Just as long as that's what you want. Uh-huh. Later that day. We're outside in a park. You're shaking your head. Shake mm-mm. your head.
She shouldn't go to summer camp. Bad things happen in summer camp.
You're like, you are bound to get your period at summer camp. You,
summer camp gonna make a woman out of you.
Oh my gosh. Later that day, we're outside in a park, and Jay is holding court in front of a group of excited kids, predominantly 6 to 8-year-olds, and 13-year-old Rosie. "Okay, it's summer camp time! The goal of summer camp is to go out there and try new things, rock climbing, horseback riding, and even passing out barbecue flyers. We like to mix things up around here." "We want you to have the best summer of your life, and nothing says best summer ever like passing out barbecue fest flyers." He has the kids get into groups of three, and Rosie is super happy when a couple of 8-year-old girls come over and ask her to join their group. While Rosie is basically babysitting, Tyler and Joe Mama are cooking at the barbecue restaurant. She finally shares with her mom that Eddie and the other investors closed the SF restaurant she was working at. She didn't want her mom to worry, but honestly, she's grateful for the break and figuring out her next step after her summer vacay in Texas with her fam.
Later that night, Tyler goes into Rosie's room. "Hey, Ladybug, I can't believe we're both so busy today. I haven't even asked you how your day at camp was." Rosie smiles. "It was great. I even think I made some new friends, even though they're 5 years younger than me, which means I could totally boss them around." Her mom sits on the edge of the bed, and Rosie hands her the flyer. "And you should totally enter this, Mom." She glances at it. "I don't look like your regular barbecue chef." And I was like, "What exactly does that mean? Who cares if you don't look like your regular barbecue chef? Just because you're not a 50-year-old man with a beer belly and a stained apron? You can't do this?"
Look, if she had a big 12 o'clock shadow, she would be good to go. But she just doesn't. There's like a few points of, huh? What the fuck in this movie? Where it's like, okay, so Rosie's gonna have friends that are way younger than her and not even bat an eye at it. Great. Okay, yeah, makes total sense. Yay.
And Tyler's gonna flip her hair and just be like, "I just don't fit into this barbecue world. I'm just too cute and pretty." Rosie still encourages her. You could totally win it, though. Tyler kisses her daughter's forehead, thanks her for the vote of confidence, and bids her good night. Mm-hmm. The next morning, Tyler is at Joe and Ray's restaurant admiring a family picture on the dining room wall. It's supposed to be a family photo of Joe, Mama, Ray, Papa, and Tyler when she was younger, but adjusted for inflation, Tyler is about our age, which means that picture needs to have way more bad makeup on, tons more hairspray, especially because it's Texas, a little more plaid, some shoulder pads, and probably a bolo tie or two. So they really did not do a good job aging up that picture, and it also should be sepia from all the fading. But we know how well Hallmark does with aged things. Mama Jo wanders over to her daughter, and Tyler finally shares that she is going to enter the barbecue contest.
Woo!
Woo! Jo Mama's thrilled and asks, "What in the world changed your mind, honey?" And her daughter happens to have an ulterior motive. She tells her mom, "Imagine what we can do with $25,000. New appliances, a new smoker in the back, and we could really fix this place up. And think of all the publicity we'll get if I actually win the competition." Tyler just told everybody that she's unemployed and doesn't have any prospects for a job and will not use that money on herself. She's going to use it on her mom and her restaurant. I don't know what a good financial choice that is, but to each their own. What did you think? That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, oh, honey.
I think that Tyler has money for a rainy day and she sees her mom's failing restaurant and she wants to support her, and it's bonus money, so it's not actually money that she would have regardless. To me, it seems like a good way to invest in your family.
Mm-hmm. Her mom starts to argue, but Tyler shuts that shit down. "I want to help you. Besides, I'm not only doing it for you, Mom. I want to do it for me and teach Rosie that sometimes you gotta take chances and you'll never win if you don't try." Mama Jo pulls Tyler into an embrace and they walk into the kitchen as she says, "That's my girl." So with conviction, woo-hoo, Tyler goes to register for the barbecue. It looks like it's in a school, unless the town has a barbecue registration hall. She walks up to the table and there's Jay. Jay! They embrace, and we found out that Tyler and Jay went to high school together. Jay's thrilled that she's entering the contest and informs her they have a celebrity chef all lined up for the contest.
Ooh.
She exclaims, "That's so exciting! Who is it?" Jay nods towards the door and says, "I think you might know him." She turns around and it's Corey. They lock eyes across the room and smile at each other, and there's a flash and some smoke and some heat behind Tyler's eyes. And maybe regret, maybe hunger, but we don't know because it cuts to a commercial break. When we next see them, Corey and Tyler are wandering around town catching up. Corey says, "I feel like we just saw each other yesterday." And she agrees. "I know. It's probably because we haven't aged. We both look so good." Mm. They chuckle, and Tyler congratulates him on his success, his books, his restaurants, and his product line. "I even think I own one of your spatulas," she tells him. He laughs embarrassed and asks what she's been up to. "Well," she says, "I have a daughter now, a little girl named Rosie." And he nods, "Yeah, I knew that." "Let me guess," she says with playful accusation. "My mom told you, right?" He nods, "That, and I Googled you."
Oh, he admits to cyberstalking her. Hi.
And immediately seems sorry that he said that. But she doesn't call him a stalker or pepper spray him immediately. And after a few awkward moments, she shares, "Well, there's probably something Google didn't tell you about me. I'm divorced." "Nope." He smiles. "I knew that too." And Tyler looks up at the sky and says, "Mom! Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, lady." Corey sympathizes with her. "Wow, that must have been really hard." And she shakes her head. "No, actually it was pretty friendly and we get along well, and now we're just focused on Rosie and doing the best that we can for her. I'm hoping he can come into town for her birthday a little later in the summer. By the way, how long are you in town for?" Winky, winky.
Ooh.
And he divulges that he has to go back directly after the competition. Sadly, Tyler has to head back to the restaurant. He's reluctant to let her go. Before she leaves, he looks at her seriously and says, "You look really good, Tyler." And then they part ways, both stealing backward glances towards each other. He looks back at her, she looks back at him, and I swear they're just checking out each other's asses. And they both have a pair of nice ones.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wise Tamara, queen of all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that you'll explain something to me.
Okay.
Question. In the next scene, the three generations of ladies are cooking in the kitchen. Rosie brings over Corey's cookbook and asks her mom if they can try one of Corey's recipes that's in said cookbook. Jobama just about spits out her water. I don't get it. What's the deal with trying one of his recipes? What's the problem with it?
I don't know. They're just like deep, dark secrets. This guy cannot be mentioned. His recipes cannot be tried. He needs to be out of the house and out of their mouths, apparently. Yeah, I think they were trying to make it into like an innuendo that was just like so lackluster, and it just missed the mark on so many different levels. Like,
is the entire book a ripoff of their family recipes and that's why she was like that? I don't really know, but the whole mama's not like, yeah, we can totally try one of the recipes. You know, Joe mama's like, fuck that shit. And I'm just like, what? Come on. The kid wants to try a recipe from a cookbook. It's a great time to just try a recipe from a cookbook. It's fine.
Maybe it's erotica recipes like tantric turkey burgers.
Why, hello, tantric turkey burgies.
What else can there be?
Seductive smoked something or another.
Meat. Seductive smoked sausages.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. I'm cutting this off. I'm cutting it off.
I'm just saying that might be the tantric recipes that they just don't want her to be privy to, and she just doesn't know that it's an erotic cookbook that they cannot cook from because half of the instructions include smearing sauces all over each other's body.
You know, I actually think that's the only reasonable explanation, and I appreciate it. That is why I asked you to share your wisdom with me. So thank you.
Yeah.
At this point, it needs to be established that Staubach the smoker is unreliable as fuck. It's unpredictable, unstable. It's potentially the Chernobyl of smokers, or inversely, the dead battery of smokers. How reliable would you say Staubach is, Tam?
Maybe 4 out of 10.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good, actually. 4 out of 10. All right.
I mean, it works sometimes, and you could put it together with some paper clips and duct tape and get it to work a few more times.
You can nudge it along. Yes, you're right. 4 out of 10 is very accurate. Staubach's unreliability causes Tyler to pray to the barbecue gods. Please last through the competition. Please. Later, Tyler is taking a break from barbecue and walking down the street when Eddie, her ex-husband and Rosie's dad, calls her asking how things are going. Tyler lets him know that things are going great and she's even entering the barbecue competition. But what's really on her mind is if he's going to make it for Rosie's birthday. Eddie waffles. I'm headed to San Diego. We're opening up a restaurant there and the manager just quit. Tyler says, I get it, but this is really important to her, so I hope you can make it. Eddie has to go because the plane is boarding, so they hang up. As soon as she does, Corey pops up behind her in a, you want to get sucked in the nose and hear me let loose with an ear-piercing scream? Because I will if I'm walking down the street by myself and a rando pops their head over my shoulder from behind and says, hello, fuck that. He'd been following her in a completely not creepy slash very creepy way for the past half a block. Yay, how charming.
I totally didn't even notice that until you showed me. You're like, oh my God, did you see him behind her? And I was like, oh.
You think he just like, oh, he just hopped across the street and popped his head over her shoulder. But no, he'd been following her for a while.
He's like, you see him in the distance. Dun-dun, 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 dun-dun.
He's practically tuck and rolling like behind her, stealthy style. Anyhow, they stroll down the street and Corey is being legit charming and asks her out to dinner. But Tyler has boundaries.
She lets him know that since she's his competitor, it wouldn't be seemly. Corey replies, "It seems, to me that it'd be a great idea. Plus," he playfully retorts, "we don't know if you're going to be my competitor." Tyler eyes him. "Fuck you. Hey, I fully plan on being the last barbecuer standing." Corey teases, "I don't know. You're a little rusty, what with all your hoity-toity French cuisine." Tyler shuts him down. "Cut me, and I bleed barbecue sauce. I'm taking everyone down." And she does a triumphant touchdown dance. Barbecue. Later at the local school, Jay is holding court, but this time it's for the barbecue contest contestants. He says, "Rules, rules, rules," but he most importantly lets the contestants know who the judges are so that they can be bribed, and also that there will be three rounds. Round one, everyone. Round two, four people. And round three, the finalist who gets to compete against Corey. The meeting convenes. Corey is approached by media for an interview, which he happily gives, but pauses when Tyler passes by. He stops her quickly before she leaves. "Hey, let me know if you change your mind about dinner." She narrows her eyes at him and says playfully, "Don't think you can charm me with that smile of yours. I've got my eyes on the prize." And she flips her hair and walks out.
The next day, Tyler is experimenting with barbecue sauces at Joe Mama's restaurant. Her and Rosie are mixing up different batches when Mama Jo walks in and asks, "What are you all doing?" Well, Tyler proposes, "I figured with people coming into town for the competition, we could have a sampling of some new sauces to get people excited and maybe drum up some business." Mama Jo thinks it's a great idea, and so Tyler directs her to go outside and get people excited. So she does. She takes her sauces, she puts them in little plates, she lines up the samples on a table out in front of the restaurant. When down the street, we see Corey. Dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. Just kidding. This time he's talking on a cell phone, not stalking anybody at all. And he's talking to his manager, Sophia, and she is not happy. "This is the first time I've talked to you since you left." "I know," he apologizes. "I've just been so busy, and I have just a few more things to do here." She scoffs loudly. "Ha!" And he apologizes again. "I know. I'm sorry. It's just there's so many things going on." And I'm like, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Didn't they have that conversation at the beginning, though? And wouldn't you realistically have a conversation that says, "I'm going to be gone for X amount of days. I'm going to be gone for 7 days in Texas to help my friend with the barbecue," right?
I feel like he did have that conversation with her, and she was just like, "Yeah, but I have wants and I have needs, and you need to be meeting those wants and needs." And I'm like, "No, motherfucker, boundaries. He says he's going to be in Texas. Okay. That's your job, is to make sure that stuff rotates around that, because he doesn't do that all the time. So you tell them tough ribs, tough ribs,
tough titties." Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought that, because I had this little scenario where he's like, "I'm going to my friends to help with the barbecue." Sophia, "So you're going to be there for 3 days?" Corey, "No, I'll be there all week. I have to stay until the end." Sophia, "So you're going to be there 4 days?" And I feel like Sophia's gaslighting him.
I feel like Sophia has her agenda, and she just is like, "No, I'm going to get him to come back because I want this thing to happen, and I don't want him to miss out on this opportunity, and I don't want to miss out on the monies." And so, you know. And I'm just like,
I'm going to harass him because I need to get paid.
I know. And I'm like, Sophia, no, you need to advocate for your man, Corey.
But Sophia doesn't listen and tells him he needs to hurry back because she can't keep these executives at the Food Network at bay forever. He proposes, "Why don't we just do a video chat?" And she said, "No, they need to see you in all your flesh and glory." He sees Mama Jo pushing her sauce on the street and quickly gets off the phone, sneaks up behind her, because that's what he does, and says, "Hey, are these samples for everyone?" She grabs him in a fierce hug and asks, "Oh, hey, you, how is life in the big city?" And he smiles. Nothing like small towns to make you pump your brakes, but I totally needed it. He takes a sample, tries the brisket that Tyler made, and proclaims that it is delicious. Joe Mama nods, That was Tyler's idea. That's her recipe. Corey gets a little twinkle in his eye and asks if she's around. Mama says, yep, she's around back at the smoker. And he moseys on over there to say howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy. When he goes in the back, he finds Tyler kneeling beside Staubach because he's probably broken again. She asks accusingly, what are you doing back here? He comes closer to her prep table. I tried your brisket outside and just wanted to tell you how crazy good it is. Ha ha! She gets a gleam in her eyes. If you're back here thinking you could steal some of my recipes or secrets, you got another thing coming.
Yeah.
He protests. That's not why I'm here. And you need to flip that meat. She gets offended. How dare you? You keep your hands off my meat. And then she realizes he's talking about the actual meat on the grill behind her that's going to start burning. So they both go over and start turning it. And she accuses him, you're just distracting me. But they are so close side by side. And he says quietly, I'm not trying to steal secrets or distract you. I just wanted to come by and tell you how good your brisket was and to see you again. Ooh. She smiles up at him a little hesitantly. He realizes he said a little too much. Things more than the meat are getting heated up, and he excuses himself to leave. He grabs his bag, and before he walks out, he compliments her choice on music. It's something country. The kind of music you can contemplate and cook to. Shortly thereafter, Mama Jo comes in and asks, hey, why did Corey leave so quick? And Tyler gives her mama an earful. You can't just let him come back here without warning me. There's only 3 days left and he's the competition. Mama Jo kisses her on the forehead and says, oh yeah, I forgot how competitive you are. I'm so sorry, but that's one of the main reasons why I love you. She heads back inside calling over her shoulder. And your sample idea was great. We're so busy in there. During a break in barbecue, Tyler takes Rosie to the local ice cream shop. She ushers her daughter inside while explaining, this was my favorite place when I was your age. And there in the corner, taking a photo with a starstruck teen, is Corey again. Stalker, 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 stalker. They see each other and smile. Hey, you again. Wow, imagine meeting here. I know we keep running into each other. Well, it's a small fucking town, not like continually running into your ex in the middle of New York City like some other Hallmark movies.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Good, because that wasn't said in the movie. That was just my own narrative that I thought I would inject, because that's more realistic that they happen to run into each other in a small town, even though Corey might slightly be stalking her. I digress. Corey asks Rosie, so your mom takes you to the best ice cream place in Texas, huh? And Rosie nods, you're that guy from the cookbook. My mom and grandma were just talking about you. Tyler blushes and says, shush. She doesn't shush her. She just blushes and looks away. And Corey leans in and asks jokingly, what did they say? What did they say about me? But Rosie doesn't tell. Instead, she asks, do you want to join us at our table? Tyler, even redder, looks hesitant, but he does wind up joining them. And they all get their ice cream and sit around a small parlor table. They all had tiny spoons. Did you see they were eating their ice cream with tiny spoons?
Yes.
It reminded me of your sister. Your sister liked eating things with tiny spoons. I remember that when my dad passed away. And she's like, here, I brought you some ice cream and a tiny spoon. Because it makes me feel better to eat things with a tiny spoon. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking. Magically, I did start feeling better, though. So go figure.
You're like, if my ice cream was a little bit saltier from the tears falling from my eyes.
Eating with their tiny spoons, Rosie tells him all about her drawings. And he asks, are you any good? Tyler chimes in. She's definitely the artist in the family. Yeah, Rosie confirms. Someday I want my drawings to hang in a museum somewhere. Then it'll happen, Corey says with conviction. If you practice, that dream will come true. You know, we kind of do the same thing. To emphasize his point, he takes her spoon, swirls it around in his ice cream, and a little bit in her ice cream, and a little bit in her mom's ice cream, while explaining, whether you're cooking or painting, it's all about taking chances and being creative, and trying to figure out what the winning combination will be. He gives the sample spoon concoction to Rosie. She sucks on it for a little while. Kind of looks like she's disgusted for a split second, and then her face breaks into a smile. Oh, that's really good, she says. He encourages her to try her own mix, and she begins concocting when his phone rings. A gorgeous photo of Sophia pops up, and Tyler sees it but says nothing. He ignores the call and focuses his attention back on them.
I love how Corey interacts with Rosie. I think it's so sweet.
Yeah. And I thought that picture of Sophia, I was like, woo, she looks like a 50s starlet, because it was like all black and white and like gorgeous. And then you see Sophia and you're like, she doesn't look like that in real life. The next day, Corey helps Jay out with summer camp. Ooh. He's going to teach the kids how to make something delicious. Ooh. Jay introduces him to all of the kids and they clap and cheer. Yay! Except for one girl in the front who looks completely bored and uninterested in it all. She's my hero. She's not buying into the hype. I don't want to cook, and I don't care who you are.
And I just got my period, and I have this pad that could be used as a flotation device on, and it's just really uncomfortable.
I'm actually 2 inches shorter when I stand up because there's so much cushion under my ass right now. If you look, anybody, dear listeners, watch that movie again. She's right in the front, kind of center, just like, what the fuck ever? Like, barely putting her hands together. It was glorious. Anywho, he teaches all the kids how to make baked beans. And as he's doing his round, checking on everybody's progress, he sees Rosie and gives her a tip or two. Rosie's not super confident that her beans are good, but after Corey gives them a try, he says, you know, with a little work, your beans could be even better than your mom's. But shh, don't tell her I said that. And then rushes away to help the other kids, leaving Rosie beaming in her beans.
Aww.
That night, okay, dear listeners, I wanted this spot. Corinne was gracious enough to let me have this spot, because when I was watching the movie, I was like, holy shit, the coincidences and the things that like flashed in my head were uncanny, because the night after the campers have all gone home, Corey and Jay play softball in an empty dark baseball field. And this completely reminded me of when my dad and my uncle, who is named Jesse, used to play baseball when we were growing up.
Aww.
And coincidentally, my dad called my uncle Jesse Jay.
Aww.
And in the scene, there's a guy named Corey and Jay. And although my dad's name was not Corey, his name was Ray. The name of the restaurant in Red Rock, Tyler's parents' restaurant, is Joe and Ray's Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a Ray and then there's a Jay. So Jay and Ray play baseball. But they would play softball much in the same way as this scene, is that they would stand at the diamond and one would lob a ball at the other and the other one would hit it out into, you know, just whack the holy hell out of it.
Yeah.
Into the outfield. And the one difference is that in my version of this that I remember, in the outfield were two little girls, myself and my sister, at about, they did it for many, many years. So probably between the ages of 7 and 12, two sisters at the end in the outfield expected to catch these balls that were flying at them at 90 miles an hour. I was not good at catching those balls. I would see it flying at me and I'd be like, nope. And I just move out of the way. And playing with my uncle and dad, who were not sympathetic at all to the plights of young girls, would be like, hey, why didn't you catch that? Oh, I don't know, because it was flying at my head with enough force to probably break open my skull. Just saying. Anywho, so Jay and Corey are lobbing balls in conversation. Jay asks how Corey feels about potentially competing against Tyler in the barbecue competition finals. And Corey line drives a ball that whizzes right past Jay's head. Well, I guess that's my answer, Jay says, half joking. Corey laughs. I thought I was just going to be a celebrity appearance, not actually compete in the contest. But you're going to take it seriously, right? Jay asks. And of course he is, because he's a professional. They make their way off the dirt to have a break and sit in the bleachers with red Solo cups of something? Question mark. If they're anything like my dad and Uncle Jesse, it's beer. Corey shares that when he went back to Joe and Ray's restaurant, walking through the door brought back so many memories and reminded him why he started cooking in the first place.
Aww.
I miss that, he says in between sips. You're drunk, Corey, go home. But he's not. He's just getting sentimental. That family is the reason why I wanted to cook, but now I'm just a brand. I write books, I make appearances, I run restaurants, but I never get my hands dirty anymore. He must realize that he sounds like he's complaining because he backtracks a little. I'm not saying I'm not grateful, but it just makes me think. But Jay just wordlessly grabs his glove, thwacks it into Corey's chest, and says, I'm up. That's too much sentimental stuff and seriousness for baseball night.
While the boys are unconcerned hitting each other's balls, Tyler is pacing back and forth on her mom's porch. Joe Mama comes out and asks her daughter about what in the Texas dust is going on. Tyler is suffering from compare and despair. She feels like her sauce isn't good enough. Yeah, it's super tasty, but it needs to be amazing. People aren't looking at her as the competitor. They're looking at her as the daughters of Joe and Ray. Five-time Red Rock barbecue competition champions. Joe Mama brings out the big mama love and has Tyler sit down next to her. Mama says, you're always so hard on yourself, down what you bring to the equation. Do you remember what you told Rosie when y'all were cooking together? Tyler pauses a beat, reflecting. To not shove so much food in her mouth, she might choke. Joe Mama chuckles. That. And sometimes you just have to let things breathe. The same is true in life as it is in recipes. Breathe. She puts her arm around her daughter. You already have everything you need. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. The next day at the Red Rock Barbecue, Tyler is prepping her grill for the competition when Corey approaches her and tries to mansplain some barbecue stuff to her, which she blows him off about, and he chuckles about because he realizes that he should have kept his mouth shut. Before he moves on, Tyler looks at him and says, I just really want to thank you for how good you were with Rosie. You made her feel really special. Corey smiles. Well, she is special, just like her mom. Jay gets on the microphone and lets everyone know that things are about to begin. The contestants have 3 hours to make chicken and a side dish for this leg of the competition. Then we have a montage. Everyone is cooking. Kicky country music plays. Let's go Texas barbecue and side dishes. The dishes are done. The judges have tasted. And Jay announces the semifinalists. 3 burly guys and Tyler. Woo!
Woo!
She doesn't look like the other semifinalists, but she is one.
Do I look like a barbecue competitor?
No, because you have to look like a barbecue competitor to be a barbecue competitor. Just like you can only write in New York and L.A. BT Dubs, just in case you're wondering.
Oh, yes.
Or create art in New York and L.A. Tyler is basking in the glow of making it through the first round. Corey congratulates her, and then Sophia shows up out of nowhere calling, Corey! Tyler looks at the brunette standing off in the distance. Corey says, Sophia, what are you doing here? Sophia whips off her sunglasses and puts her hands on her hips. I'm here to get you back on a plane to motherfucking New York City.
No means no, Sophia. No means no.
Yeah. Tyler is all full of what the fuck? And we have a break. And we're back. Right before the break, Sophia had, surprise, shown up at the barbecue competition. Corey introduces Sophia to Tyler and her family. This is my business manager. Sophia says, the Food Network is chomping at the bit to meet with you, so I am not leaving until you get on a plane to New York. This is too big of a deal to just blow off. Corey excuses himself from Tyler's fam to talk with Sophia. They walk off and Sophia is demanding that they leave to meet with the network tomorrow. But Corey says he can't. He still has his barbecue competition obligation. Just then, Jay runs up to let Corey know that they need to do the press junket. But he only gets part way in before he is distracted. He sees Sophia and hearts start emanating from his eyes. Sophia sees Jay and she gets hearts in her eyes. And it's an unexpected but instant match. Jay introduces himself to Sophia, shaking her hand and getting barbecue sauce on her. Fortunately, he came prepared and had a napkin to wipe off her hand. Apologizing confidently and saying, "Won't happen again," Corey lets her know that they have got to go. And Sophia says, "Great. I'm going where you're going." At the press junket, the four semifinalists and Corey all sit behind a long table where the press fire questions at them. Most notably, "Hey, Tyler, isn't it true that you and Chef Corey were once childhood sweethearts?" Tyler plays it off. "That was a long time ago." And Corey jumps in. "I still feel like I'm 18, though." Tyler banters back. "And sometimes you act like it." Everyone laughs, and Jay interrupts. "All right, y'all, before we wrap things up, let me announce the next round of competition. It's going to be in 4 days, and the menu is barbecue ribs with your choice of sides. And remember," he says ominously, "three of you will be eliminated."
Dun, 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 dun.
The press conference ends, and as Corey gets up, he says playfully to Tyler, "I'm going to get you back for that." He walks over to Sophia, who wants to know what there is to do in this town. "Well," Corey says, glancing around the room, "Jay, hey, Jay, come over here." Corey turns to Sophia as Jay approaches. Jay will show you around to all the charming things in our little town.
There's the ice cream shop, and there's the ice cream shop, and there's a rib place, and there's an ice cream shop.
Jay says, confused, "I would?" Corey affirms, "Sure you would." Corey moves next to Sophia, and Sophia was saying how she wanted to see all the sights. Sophia looks up at Corey. "I did?" Corey says, "Sure you did." And he leaves them just like that. He saw those heart eyes, and he's hoping that Jay will be just the perfect distraction for Sophia.
Or Nopia, as I like to call her now, because she doesn't know the meaning of no.
Oh.
Nopia.
I was like, she can't go to the bathroom?
Yeah, as punishment for not knowing how to say, take no for an answer.
Boundaries.
Nopia, Nopua.
Boundaries, Nopia.
I was like, maybe that's why Corey feels like he's 18. I still feel like I'm 18 because I got this lady following me around telling me what I can and cannot do. "I told you, Mom, I'm going out. I'm going to the barbecue competition. I'll be home when I get home."
Jeez.
While Jay and Nopia are getting matched up, Corey wanders over to the town square. He sees a gazebo in the distance and heads towards it with purpose. He starts looking under the slats of wood until he hears a voice behind him say, "It's over here." It's Tyler. Of course it is. She's pointing to the edge of a bench, and there, carved inside, is a heart with C plus T. He's surprised. It lasted this long, and it's in such good shape considering how old it is. How old is it exactly? 20 years? 15 years?
Yeah, like about 15, I would say.
Okay. They sit down and talk. "So," she asks, "how'd it go with your manager?"
Ooh.
He could read between the lines. "Fine, and you know she's just my manager, right?" Tyler nods to herself. "I hoped so." And he explains, "She just came down here because a big network wants to meet about making a TV show, and she wants to make sure I get back in time to do it." Tyler seems impressed. An author and a TV star?
Ooh. You better hop on that sausage pony right away before it gets away.
"So," he adds, "she's just going to stick around until the competition's done." "Good," Tyler says with conviction. "That means we get you around here for a little while longer." His face softens. What a sweet thing to say. And she backpedals like a mofo. "Well, I mean, you know, of course we want you around. So that you don't disappoint Jay and Red Rock and the townspeople. No. I know that's what you were saying. Corey agrees good-naturedly. Wouldn't want to do that. So when are you going back to San Francisco? And she reveals her deep, dark, dirty secret. She tells him that they're going to stay until the end of the summer and there was no rush back because she's an unemployed sous chef. Bring! With a super soft spot for barbecue. He's apologetic, but remembers how talented she is and asks, well, have you ever thought about opening your own restaurant? But of course, she says emphatically, but I'm going to do it on my own terms and in my own time.
Yeah.
But mark my words, it will happen. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. And I'm surprised she didn't ask him to get a job in one of his restaurants, because if he owns a bunch of restaurants and she's a really talented chef, like, it's all about networking and connections. So maybe you're just hit your boy up for a J-O-B.
Yeah, I think that would involve moving across country to New York City.
I mean, he probably has barbecue joints all over the place. If he's that successful, like, what's his face?
So she can work at Disney
or World. Vegas.
Yeah.
She can go to Vegas. They always have places open in Vegas.
Sweet.
It's like the adult Disneyland.
True. I like the way you think.
Thank you. The next day, Corey stops by Ray and Joe's barbecue, and the place is packed. There's a line outside the door to get in, and Corey finds Joe at the hostess station. She gives him a loving hug and then sticks his ass in the kitchen. It's so busy, she says. Can you just go back and help? He does. Tyler's already back there, and she immediately puts him to work, giving him directions. That plate needs baked beans. This plate needs cornbread. These plates over here need loaded baked potatoes. Some kicky fiddle music plays as they quickly race around the kitchen and serve delicious smoked meats to all the customers. At the end of the night, Tyler is cleaning the smoker and Corey is sweeping. He's exhausted and he puts the broom down and thanks his lucky stars that they closed early because he didn't have anything else left in him. Tyler agrees, but then says, "This is the most fun I've had in the kitchen in a really long time." Yeah, Tyler says, I know the feeling. That's the first time I was actually in a kitchen in forever. No promotion, no politics, just cooking. Just then, a slow, twanging country song comes on, and they both look at each other and smile. Remember this song? He grabs her hand and takes her to the middle of the patio, and they slow dance. He puts his hands on the small of her back, and she lays her head on his shoulders. They get closer, the music gets slower, and their faces almost seem to be drawn together. And just as they're about to kiss, a voice says, Tyler?
Oh,
it's motherfucking Eddie, the ex-husband.
Fucker.
He looks at them accusingly. Tyler looks between him and Corey guiltily, and then screams, get the fuck out of here, Eddie! She actually doesn't say that, but I wish she would, because kisses interruptus by the exes is the worst kind.
Uh-huh. And, like, he couldn't have just... He saw that they were going in for the kiss.
This is my next spot.
Okay.
Is my next spot. Okay. I have words and feelings and things I need to say about it, because fuck you, Eddie.
You have my rapt attention.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... He gives her a disingenuine apology. Sorry, I hope it didn't ruin anything. Tyler and Corey assure him that yes, you did. And Eddie, you owe us all a fucking apology. How dare you? How could you do that? Why didn't you go back there, see that something was going on, turn tail and walk away? And I think it's because secretly he wanted to interrupt us that kiss us. Because if I saw that, like, if I was back here and I saw my ex who I had no interest in, like, about to kiss somebody, I'd be like, oh, shit, let me... Beep, 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 beep.
Totally.
Just back right out of there.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Same.
I'm sorry.
Same
okay, now, what did you want to say, Corinne, before I, like, screamed at you because I wanted to be first in the urine asshole, to jump in the urine asshole pond?
If you see a couple people back ready to go in for the kiss, that's not when you're like, hey, girl, hi. No. You respect the kiss. You respect the kiss tractor beam. Or, like you said, you go beep, 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 and you just meet up at a different time. Because what the fuck is he doing there? Seriously.
Tyler asks, why didn't you tell me you were coming? And he holds his hands up and says, surprise! I'm here for Rosie's birthday. Yay! No, Eddie, go home. We're all still mad at you.
Seriously. Also, you surprise Rosie.
You don't surprise your fucking ex, the mother.
Yeah.
No, you yeah. let her know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's not cute. Like, super surprise, I'm going to show up on your doorstep. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no. Now, I could see if this wasn't the Hallmark universe. The only defense for breaking in on somebody's sexy times uh-huh. is, theoretically, if this wasn't a Hallmark movie, like, it could progress into something else. Uh-huh. Like, say he, like, walks in there and he's like, oh, if I don't stop this right now, I might, like, be stuck back here and they're going to get naked and start going at it and then I don't have a way out. And I'm just like, oh, holy, I can't. I don't, I'm just going to stand in the corner and pretend like I'm not here.
Look at your phone, dude. Look at your phone.
What's that glowing in the corner? Mike, is that my ex-husband? In the middle of the deed. Anyways, Eddie's there for Rosie's birthday. Yay! Tyler seems like she's not exactly happy for this to be sprung on her, but ultimately she's glad that he's there for Rosie. Mm-hmm. She tells him that she's about ready to go to the festival and asks if he'd like to tag along. And he agrees because there's nothing more fun than hanging out with your ex who just interrupted your kiss. Am I right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be bitter about that at all. No, not at all. Mm. Not me.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'd be like, great, you're here? Okay, I'll see you at her birthday tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.
The festival is all lit up and magical looking on this clear Texas night. Jay and Sophia are hitting it off, and Sophia, shock of all shucks, has managed to postpone the meeting now that it works for her.
Mm. Oh. Nope.
Yeah. Eddie has managed to find Rosie at the fair, and she's thrilled to be spending time with him. At the end of the evening, Rosie, Tyler, and Joe Mama are heading home, and Rosie is super happy that they came to Texas. She expresses that she really likes it there, helping out at the restaurant and spending time with Grandma. But what she likes the most is being able to spend more time with her mom.
Aww.
The next day, Tyler is jogging in the park when she sees a tent full of ladies being entertained by Curry. He is talking with them about barbecue. Apparently, the women's auxiliary requested a private sesh with Corey, and Jay made it happen. Corey explains to his enraptured audience that it's important not to use too much Worcestershire in the sauce. Tyler guffaws and rolls her eyes, standing in the back of the tent. Corey catches this and calls her out on it. All the ladies turn around and stare at Tyler, and Tyler self-consciously says, you're making pulled pork, right? Corey nods, and Tyler continues, well, Worcestershire and garlic are what really enhance the boldness of the pork. Corey is dubious. Oh, really? Well, why don't you come on up here and demonstrate what you're talking about? Tyler comes up. Corey throws an apron on her, and she whips up a sauce using a little of this and a little of that, gives it a little taste. Once she's behind the cooking table, her confidence grows, and she says to the ladies, as I suspected, Worcestershire and garlic are key to pulled pork.
I am pro Worcestershire. I am pro garlic. I probably would just be disappointed if I was at that ladies' auxiliary meeting and be like, I thought he was going to do this presentation without a shirt. Any ladies? You too? No? Uh-huh. He's keeping his clothes on? Damn.
I know. When they said a demonstration, I don't think they were really clear enough about what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler says, your sauce was a good start. Corey scoffs. Oh, really? So, just so we're on the same page, Tyler says, my finished sauce was a good start. Tyler curries favor with the ladies. Okay, what do you say we have Chef Corey do a blind taste test, see which one he really likes better? The ladies go wild. Yes, please. And by blind, you mean take off his shirt and put it over his head so that we can see him without a shirt on?
Yes.
Yes. Sadly, that is not the case, though. Corey is blindfolded with a napkin of some sort or a dish towel of some sort and confidently chooses Tyler's. Ha ha! Take that, Corey. But Corey is a good sport about it all. One might expect to have Tyler and Corey doing a nice little intimate walk and talk after their sauce showdown, but one would be wrong. Instead, they are finishing a potato sack race?
Mm-hmm. Nothing says hot like a potato sack race.
How'd they get the... What? Hi? What? Whoop.
Tyler wins because she's awesome, and Corey convinces her to go on the Ferris wheel. While they are cruising around on the Ferris wheel, Tyler shares about her fear of failure, and Corey assures her that she is super talented and that she should trust that. Suddenly, the Ferris wheel stops, and they're a little disconcerted, but take the opportunity to take in the view. Tyler says, looking out at the vista in front of her, "It sure is beautiful out here." And Corey pulls the old Hallmark trick of talking about the person instead of the view by saying huskily, "Yeah, everything is beautiful up here." And looking at Tyler with hearts in his eyes. She turns her head and suddenly the kiss tractor beam is in full effect. They lean slowly towards each other, lips extended, ready for that sweet smackaroo when kisses interrupt us. The Ferris wheel starts moving, and they chuckle at the interruption. Apparently not thinking, okay, let's try again. Once that kiss tractor beam is broken, it can't be immediately re-engaged. That's not been my experience, like, personally, but, you know.
Oh, it's moving? Okay, now we're going to kiss while we're moving. That's more exciting.
Yes,
see?
Yes.
Oh, you can't? Why? Oh, you get motion sickness if you kiss while in motion? Okay, that makes total sense as to why everybody in the Hallmark universe never kisses when anything disrupts, interrupts, moves around them, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, some of the kisses interruptuses, I'm like, seriously? A wind blew and brushed my hair on my face. Oh, no! I can't kiss you now!
A dog runs between their legs. Oh, we couldn't possibly kiss now!
A leaf floats onto her head. Oh, my God, no!
Look, before the leaf, she was looking so sexy, but once she got that leaf on her head, kiss tractor beam broken!
That kiss tractor beam is so sensitive. Like, seriously. Leaves, blades of grass, strong breezes, and it's off. Somebody needs to come up with a kiss tractor beam 2.0. Mm-hmm. After the carnival, Tyler and Joe Mama are having drinks on the patio when Eddie and Rosie bound up the stairs. They had a great time at the festival, and Mama does what mamas do and asks if they're hungry. They both say yes, and so she ushers everyone in for dinner, but Eddie hangs back and asks for a word with Tyler. He shares that he just got a phone call in confirmation that they're opening up a new restaurant in San Francisco, and they want Tyler to be the head chef.
Yay!
She's overwhelmed by the news and reluctant, and Eddie's confused. I thought you'd be chomping at the bit for something like this. Well, yeah, I would a couple of weeks ago, she says, but now I've got the second round of the competition and everything else that's going on here. I just need some time to think about it. Mm-hmm. Eddie is understanding, ? And says, I'm glad you're taking time to think about it, but let me know as soon as you can. And I wrote... ... I may have snapped under this pressure. No, motherfucker, you do not deserve all of this, motioning to yourself to be in the kitchen. And is that why you came? Did you really come to spend time with your daughter for her birthday? Or did you just come to give me a job proposal? Dirty. He says he just got the call, but then happened to surprise. I'm making air quotation marks very furiously with my finger as I say all this.
I hear those air quotation marks in your voice, too.
Yeah. Surprise! I'm here for the birthday, and I just so happen to have a job offer for you! Anyways, the next day at Rosie's birthday party, she has a slew of kids and adults running around the neighborhood. The kids are playing pin the tail on the cow. That's right. You heard me. Not donkey, but cow. Rosie pulls herself from all the fun and games to greet Corey, who just walked up mid-festivities with a slender package for her.
Ooh.
He tells her to open it, and she rips it up, and it's an art book, and she's thrilled. He obviously listened to her and knows what she likes.
Aww.
Tyler's front and center of the festivities on the porch catering the affair, and not only is she feeding the guests, but she's also trying her new barbecue sauce on them. So the guests are her inadvertent test group.
Nice.
Very, very smart. And, of course, Eddie's there. He's the most well-dressed guest in a jacket and slacks. Corey comes over and they strike up a chat, or perhaps they're feeling each other out. They talk amicably about barbecue competitions and Tyler, and Eddie lets it slip that he offered her a job in San Francisco. And if his financiers had given her the head chef job at her previous restaurant, they probably wouldn't have gone under. But thankfully, they realized the error of their ways, and hopefully she will accept the new position. Corey looks confused. A new position, he asks. Yeah, Eddie confirms, we're opening up a new restaurant in San Francisco and offer her the head chef position. That's great, huh? Corey's left to chew on this information because Eddie excuses himself to go put a tail on a cow.
The next day, right before the semifinals are about to start, Corey and Tyler talk. Corey congratulates her on the San Francisco job opportunity. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? When do you think you'll be heading back? Tyler puts her hands on her hips, narrows her eyes at him, and says, well, when do you think you're heading back to New York? And it is apparent that there is a conversation that Corey and Tyler need to have more specifically about geography and the map of their hearts, but they aren't having it at that moment. Corey says, Hey, can I ask you something? I just want you to be honest with me. I think he's about to pull out his map of their hearts for the conversation, but they're interrupted by Jay asking the contestants to approach their grills so they can get started cooking. And we're getting our cooking montage. There's seasoning, there's barbecuing, there's slicing and dicing and salting and smoking. Things are happening. The judges judge, and it's unanimous. It's Tyler. Woo! She will be competing against Corey. Muppet arms for everyone. Yay! The final stage of cooking involves cooking off-site at their own places. Ooh, exciting.
Mm.
The next day, Tyler and Rosie are basking in the glow of her triumphant party, munching on leftover birthday cake in the kitchen, when Rosie asks what every Hallmark big city kid asks. Do we have to go back to the big city? Can we stay here in the small town? Tyler responds vaguely, as she should, because she has another parent to consider. Not all Hallmark movies get this right. Some of them just have the parent being like, yeah, it's happening. And I'm left wondering, what about the other parent? If I had a child and my child's other parents took them to their childhood home or a magical Hallmark town for a holiday and then they never came back, there'd be some serious hell to pay.
Until you have no feelings about that, Corinne.
None. None whatsoever. Later, Tyler is hanging out on the porch with her mom. Tyler is fretting. What if I lose? Joe Mama answers with Big Mama love. First, you're not gonna lose. But even if you do, it doesn't matter. All I care about is if you're happy. Tyler smiles back at her mom. I'm working on it. Aren't we all, Tyler? Aren't we all? Just then, George comes by and invites them to the festival dance. Joe Mama says that she'll watch Rosie if Tyler wants to go, and Tyler excitedly dashes off to change into her dancing dress and boots and head to the dance with George. Meanwhile, Jay is dressed, ready for the dance and hanging out with Corey on his back deck. Jay looks at Corey. You look like you've got something on your mind. Corey shakes his head. It's just that I didn't expect to have all these feelings for Tyler. It's been over 15 years. Ooh, 15. We were right. It's been over 15 years. And honestly, when I said I'd come out, I didn't even consider that she'd be here. And now that she is, I'm being smacked in the emotions with all these feelings. Fuck all. Jay says, what did you expect? Back in high school, y'all were crazy for each other. And it looks like you still are. Corey confesses, yeah, I gotta say, I don't want to go back to New York until I let her know how I feel and find out how she feels about me. Jay claps his hands together. Great, then let's go get this all squared away. Come to the dance with me and hopefully you'll be able to figure it out tonight, tonight, tonight.
At the festival dance, there's a covered white tent with a country band playing on stage. George and Tyler are two-stepping and having a great time. He twirls her one time too many, and when she stops, she sees Eddie at the entryway, waving her over. She goes over to say hello, and he says, wow, I never knew you could dance like that. She gives him a subtle jab and says, oh, well, it's all about your partner, and then looks at him pointedly. You apparently did not know how to dance. You were not a good dance partner. He doesn't notice and adds, you looked really happy out there. She knows. I am. And that's why I can't accept the job offer in San Francisco. Eddie's expression is unreadable until he says, yeah, I thought so. And she's surprised. You did? She asks. Yeah, he admits, you're different now. She agrees. We're different. I think this place is going to be good for both of us. I want to move to Red Rock with Tyler and give it a try if it's okay with you. And he gives his blessing. And they part ways amicably because he has to catch a flight. That's probably why he said yes, because he's never home anyways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Just then, Corey shows up with Jay and Sophia in tow. Jay and Sophia have hearts in their eyes and head to the dance floor, leaving Corey by himself until he sees Tyler standing by the refreshment table. Refreshment table.
What's happening at that refreshment table? Ooh.
So many things. Could be good, could be bad.
Very bad.
Could be barbecue motivated. He comes up behind her. God damn it, Corey, stop doing that. And says, I know we're competition, but do you want to dance? She agrees and they cut a serious rug. Ooh. They spin and turn and shimmy. Both have a lot of prep work to do for the competition tomorrow, but they needed some downtime to decompress, and they are decompressing the hell out of that dance floor. Suddenly, the music slows down, and they use this as an excuse to press their bodies up against each other. They gaze into each other's eyes before Tylee, the new girl that just walked in the tent. Nobody knows who she was, but she catches
She's the Kardashian
eye.
Cousin.
Tyler. They gaze into each other's eyes before Tyler divulges, I'm not taking the job in San Francisco. Rosie and I are going to stay here for a bit and see how it works out. Corey is surprised, but glad? Question mark. He says, that's really great news. And she asks, is it? And he nods, yeah, there's actually something I was meaning to tell you. But just then, here comes George. He stands between the two of them on the dance floor and proclaims, there's a fire at your mama's restaurant. And all three of them rush out.
At the restaurant in the back, Staubach is a smoky, destroyed mess. The smoker started a fire, and it got to part of the kitchen as well. The fire marshal said that it would probably be about a month before the restaurant is able to reopen. Even though the smoker is on a cement platform and the building is made out of brick, so it doesn't make sense that a bunch of stuff caught on fire, but we're just going to ignore that.
Conspiracy theory.
Ooh.
It was Eddie who did an arson fire on the restaurant to secretly make Rosie come back home because he didn't want to seem like the smaller man and be like, no, I don't want you guys to stay here. I want you to come back to San Francisco where I could see you more often. But then to save face, caused a fire in her mama's restaurant so she would have no other choice but to come back home.
I think that you have solved the mystery. Cracked the code, Nancy Drew. You are the Nancy Drew of this episode. You have figured it
Woo-hoo.
Out.
What do I get? You get a platter of ribs.
You wish. You get me singing ba 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 barbecue ba 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 barbecue to you, Miss Tamara, to you.
I guess that's good enough. Okay. Continue.
Joe Mama, who just got off the phone with the insurance agency, says that the insurance will cover the damage. So, yay! They aren't completely fucked. However, now Tyler is in a bit of a pickle. How is she supposed to smoke meat without a smoker? Fuckity, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck!
She can come over to Tamara's house. She has two on her patio. My old house.
Corey comes by Joe Mama's house to check to see how everyone is doing and talk to Tyler. Corey and Tyler sit on the steps of the porch, and Tyler is in a bad place. She is not open-hearted. She is not filled with any kind of hope. She is filled with despair, 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 despair.
Wouldn't that be beneficial, though, if the place burned down and everything was falling apart anyways? They could use the insurance money to, rebuild and make it functional again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they could use the embers from the fire of the place to cook the barbecue for the competition the next day. Your idea, though, is on the nose, I think.
They don't need embers. They just need Doritos.
Dorito barbecue. Tyler says, I shouldn't have turned down Eddie's job offer. What am I even doing? The fire, the smoker, it all just feels like a sign.
Sign that you have a fucking old ass smoker that should have been replaced years ago. That's what the sign was.
Corey looks at her intently. A sign of what? Tyler returns his gaze. A sign that we're fooling ourselves. My whole life is in San Francisco and yours is in New York. What are we even thinking? Corey shakes his head. Tyler, up until about a week ago, I thought I had a pretty perfect life, professional success, nice things, and good people. But I didn't realize how empty I felt until I saw you again. And I knew then that you were the missing piece. And I met Rosie, who is pretty fantastic as well. And now I can't imagine my life without the both of you. New York doesn't matter, and my success is immaterial without you in my life. He touches her leg softly, and Tyler has tears welling up in her eyes. It's not going to work, Corey, she says, and she jumps up and rushes into the house. Once inside, she checks in on her sleeping daughter to get a little dose of sleeping child serenity. Tyler picks up Rosie's sketchbook and looks at a drawing that Rosie made of her and her mom smiling in front of the barbecue restaurant. She considers, maybe winning isn't having everything go right, but rather going after something that feels like it could be right. Bring it on home, Tamara.
Later that night, Tyler goes to Corey's loft and apologizes for her blowout. He says it's fine, and she says, no, it's not. Even though we're competitors, I'd like us to work side by side. And he agrees. So, she announces, we have 12 hours to make 2 meals for 10 people. Are you with me?
Yes, yes, she I'm says, with you. I'm with no. you.
I put he says and he looks. So I'm like, it obviously was one or the other. Are you with me? She says. And he looks at her like she's crazy. What do you think? He says. And they dive into his fully stocked fridge. And there's another cooking montage. It looks like they have brisket, pork, ribs, and are injecting meats with garlic. There's lots of laughter and leeks. The vegetable. No water's coming out of anything. In the middle of the montage, Corey holds out 2 glasses of beer and Tyler kind of promenades around it like she doesn't want to drink it. So I'm wondering if Corey drinks way more than she does. That's just me completely projecting. They continue cooking around each other until Tyler elbows him in the side and says, you're going down. And he scoffs, ha! We'll see about that. The timer's counting down and they both rush their meals out to the competition.
Woo!
Everybody's there, including Joe and George, who are all getting worried about the hour. But in the nick of time, Corey and Tyler bring in an insulated fridge with all their food. Much to Jay's relief, who asks, you both ready? And they agree, ready as we'll ever be. They make it onto stage. Jay announces that the audience will determine who the winner is. And the huge crowd of people clap. Yay! Ah, free food! Free food! Free food!
Free food!
Then we get everybody sampling the goods. All the tables are filled with 2 metal cafeteria trays, one with Corey's food and the other one with Tyler's. Tyler's talking to her mom and confesses that I actually mixed up some of my own recipes with Dad's. Aww. For good luck. Her mom is thrilled and they hug. While a short ways away, Sophia finds Corey and asks if he's ready to go back to New York now. They haven't even finished judging the competition and she's already trying to drag him to the damn airport. Nope, Pia. He says, we gotta talk. And she knows what that means. No good statement ever followed. We have to talk. And she's right. Corey's staying in Red Rock. It's going to be his home base for a while. He will, of course, go back to New York to take care of his current business. But he says, this town's where I want to hang my hat for a while. She reminds him about the TV show. And he says, I know what I'm doing. And right now, I'm following my gut on this one.
Aww.
Sophia's disappointed, but understands? Question mark. After spending time there, Red Rock must be a magical place. But I think she'll probably drop him like a hot potato as a client after she leaves. But that's just me.
Oh, I think she's just glad that she has an excuse to go and see Jay.
Mmm. Maybe. Maybe she was just using Jay as a little distraction sausage to take up some time and energy while she was in town. And then when she goes back to New York, she's going to be like, so sad, so sorry, can't go back, bye-bye. A short while later, they have the competition results. Jay's at the top of the stage with a huge trophy in his hand and says, without further ado, I'd like to pronounce the winner of the Red Rock Barbecue Contest. And the winner is... Tyler Dawson! The crowd goes wild. Amidst the fanfare and applause, Corey finds Tyler, and with the sun framing their silhouettes, he says, congratulations. I want to give us another chance. He grabs her waist, and she says, I was thinking the same thing. And they kiss, and it's a pretty good one, but the sun is glowing behind both of their faces, and as they pull apart, a light emits all around them like a glorious kiss us, accept us. 1 year later, there is much fanfare and buzz around Corey's new restaurant. Presumably, it's in Red Rock, and it's called the Old Flame. He ushers Rosie over to the entryway to cut the ribbon with a huge pair of scissors. Everybody cheers as she does it, and then the camera pans over to Corey and Tyler, who are kissing again and again and again. Ooh. It must be the season for love at Red Rock, and they must have gotten their happily ever after the end.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, my goodness. What a ride.
A saucy ride. What a seasoned story. What did you think of Season for Love, Corinne?
I think it's a solid three dry kiss movie. It could be higher if it didn't have some really odd things about it that just don't make any kind of sense whatsoever. And the diversity in it is pretty darn bad. There's George, and then there's George, and then there's George.
Wait, there was also that guy, George.
I was like, oh, who? Oh, yes, George. So, yeah. And George was totally rad. I really liked him. So I give it three dry kisses. And I, generally speaking, liked the chemistry between Corey and Tyler. I actually really liked the relationship between Corey and Rosie, as I said previously. And I thought it was pretty solid, generally speaking, except for a few what the fuck kind of things that were happening in it. So... yeah. What did you think of this movie?
I don't know why. When I was watching this movie, I kept getting angry at parts. I was like, I don't...
After the fact, like, when I watched... It showed up in your outline. It was awesome.
Yes. No, I know. When I was watching it, I was like, don't do that. And then I'd watch it again, and I was like, whoa, okay. I needed to calm down. Probably having a bad day when I was doing it, or not, you know. Some things were going on in the interim that might have painted my judgment at times.
Yeah.
But I would say three dry kisses myself. I agree with everything you said. I wasn't super fly feeling the guy, not the actor per se, like he was a hottie patati, but for some reason, like, his personality just didn't, like, he wasn't my favorite Hallmark leading man.
Uh-huh.
And I can't necessarily say why. He wasn't my cup of tea.
He was in a movie called Good Morning Christmas, and I really delighted in him in that. But I definitely think he was stronger in that movie than he was in this one.
Yeah. And I don't doubt it, because a lot of times, like my Luke McFarlane, where I like saw Luke McFarlane, I'm like, I love him. He's my favorite. And then saw him in two other movies, and I'm like, oh, never mind. It was just that movie that he was my favorite. That was my Luke McFarlane favorite movie.
Yeah.
And so I think this is probably along the same lines. But yeah, there was just too many things that made me go, what? Oh, we're potato sack racing? And we're like, shh, secrets about the cookbook. Don't talk about the cookbook. Don't bring the cookbook out. Maybe that cookbook should be under lock and key instead of in the cupboard where everybody can find it but not talk about it. And do spit takes around it. The Sophia character. I'm just like, honey, I would have fired you a long time ago. Like, you were just... if you're supposed to be looking out for your client's best interest, I understand your tenacity and all of that. But no means no, Sophia. No means no.
For real.
And of course, the biggest problem of all is that every time I watched this movie, I got extremely hungry.
Oh.
Yeah. Wanted some meats. Haven't found a good barbecue place in my neighborhood yet, so that posed a huge problem and might have explained all the anger I was feeling towards the movie. I don't know. But you know, yeah, three dry kisses.
Hangriness is definitely a legitimate reason to be critical of something. I agree.
Until you eat something and then you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing the world in a whole new light after that piece of bread. What the hell is wrong with me?
What movie do we have coming up next week, Tamara?
Welcome to Mama's.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That one takes us back to the big city. We're coming out of the small Texas town and back into the big city.
New York City and Italian food.
Ooh, also problematic when I was watching it. I'm like, I just want some pasta so bad right now.
I feel like you needed to have specially selected foods for each of these movies that we were watching in Manja March. And I also wonder if we're ever going to do another Manja March again because of your bitterness towards feeling so hungry during watching the movies.
Yeah, no, I'll acclimate. I will acclimate to it and just be like, I've discovered that when I watched Waitress and Wanted Pie. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to Corinne's house specifically for her dad to make me a pie.
So, is that why you came up and visited me out of the blue that one time?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Only the last three times.
Yeah, no. I always try and wrangle it so you get two pies when you visit.
Oh, I know. Next time I'm going to be like right there next to your dad in the kitchen going, okay, Joe, show me the magic so I don't have to bother you ever again. I'll still bother you, but I'll be bothering myself way more times at home making my own special pies.
So if you want to know about pies or our special desserts or barbecue or you have anything you want to say about Manja March or anything else, feel free to email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com or you can reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Say no to Instagrass, kids. Instagrass is bad.
Okay.
And as always, if you can find the time, we would love it if you could rate and review us at One Dry Kiss anywhere that you listen to this podcast. And that is One Dry Kiss, spelled O-N-E. And as always, we thank you for joining us today. And we hope to see you next time. And we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah.
Mwah.
Goodbye-bye.
Fire up that barbecue, baby.
Don't tell me that. I'm still hungry.